So it's my first sermon of the new semester. Yeah. So as you know, I was a little under the weather when I last left. So Pastor Jeff gave me my preaching date, and being sick allowed me to do a little soul searching, per se. So when I looked at the lectionary, I saw these scriptures, and I said, oh, man. Okay, I read them. Which one jumps out? What do you want to preach from? Then I saw the one that talked about that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. Later in my sermon, you'll see why this means so much to me. But when I first came here, someone says, Pat, how do you determine what you're going to write about? How do you determine what you're going to preach about? So me, music plays a big part in that. It lets me zone in and get to where I need to be to deliver the word for you. So with that being said, there was a song that I listened to, and I sent it to Carol, and I said, hey, have you guys sung this song? Do you know? She says, no, Pat, I haven't sung it. We haven't sung it. I don't know it. So I decided I'm going to play a little bit for you. And that's because you will know why I'm so excited about this sermon today. Hope you get excited, because I hope that I can keep my feet on the floor, because this is really going to be my declaration of 2018. Resonated with you like they did with me, because it's fitting. And it's fitting because so many of us are in a place today where we look towards others to help figure out where we should be. We look towards others for validation. We look towards others when we should be looking at the one that created us. Before I go on, I would like to have a quick word of prayer. God, be with us. God, speak to us and through us. God, I ask that you show yourself in this place. In other words, God, do what you do when you want to do what you do. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Again, I'm excited about this because, as I said, so many people look towards others. But the scripture says, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. That's why the sermonic title today is The Seal of Approval. First, let me start by giving you my two important definitions on today's topic. First, what is a seal of approval? My definition, again, my definition and my declaration, is an official declaration or warning that something or someone is accepted or regarded favorably. Me, you, you're accepted in favor. The word approval is the action of officially agreeing with something or accepting something as satisfactory, or the belief that someone or something is good or acceptable. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Because it says right here that you are accepted because you were made. You see, our Lord wants us to know that you are loved and that he created a plan for each one of us. He knew the family you would be born in. He knew the hospital you would be born in, the town, the time, the day, you name it. He knew that today, is today January 14th, 2018? He knew that you would be right here listening to me, right here receiving the word of God. Question for you. How many of you have looked at yourself in the mirror and didn't like what you see? How many? Yeah. Hello, the ones who didn't raise their hand. Not sure about you, but that's been me. As a matter of fact, just last week, got up one morning and said, oh man, you need some sleep. I didn't like the way my eyes looked. But it's been said that it's a common thing amongst humans. Because of how others expect us to look and to act. See, we live in a society that can be very brutal at times. We don't like my eyes, my hair, lips, you name it. We want to change something. You see, there are things that we may want to change about us if given the chance. Like I just said, our nose, lips, eye color. In today's time, we can change just about anything that we want. I often wanted to pattern, some people often want to pattern themselves after celebrities or others. But guess what? What looks good on one may not look good on you. I'm here to tell you that you were precisely made the way that God wanted you. Before God sent you out into the world, God gave you a seal of approval. See, before God gave you this approval, he took his time to carefully, to skillfully, to creatively chisel you out. He knew the eye color that you would have. He took the time to form the tissues and the organs, the bones, anything that makes you uniquely you. God did that. Because of the time that was set aside in creating you, you are considered a uniquely created masterpiece, one of a kind. While we were forming in our mother's womb, he took the time with his perfect hands to form the 270 bones that make up our bodies. He took the time to formulate and calculate the 650 muscles that make our bodies. You see, we have a God that's a God of mathematics and calculations. There's even a book in the Bible called Numbers. So that has to be evident, right? We have a God that is able to take things that's uniquely about us and give to us. Dev, he gave you what was for you. Diane gave you what's for you. John, not to me, but to you. I wish I could sing. I wish I could play the bass. Told you that. But I don't have what God has for you all. If we could know just how much God loves us, the Bible says that he has even taken the time to number the very hairs that's all over our bodies. He knows when hair follicle number 403 is going to fall out. He knows that if and when hair follicle 403 will ever grow back. Who but God? No one else but God knows this. And he just doesn't know that about me, but he knows that about you. You see, we serve a faithful and loving God. He wants us to love on him because he's the manufacturer of us. If we want to know more about what we should do with this body and with these thoughts and everything that's going on, guess what? We should go back to the Creator, the one that made us, the one that molded us, the one that sculpted us. He molded us because he loves us. God has designed us for a purpose in our life. You're not a mistake. You are here for a purpose. God has something in store for you and for me, and it's great. God is such a good God. God didn't promise us that it would be a perfect life, but he said that he would never, ever, ever leave us. He would always be there. He said he would never forsake us. You may have friends that may forsake you, but God will always be there. He was with you at the point of conception. He will be there with you when you take your last breath. God wants each of you to know that he is passionately in love with you. He loves us so much because we are God's creation. I'm talking to somebody. We have people that will love on us. We have our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. Many people will love you, but nobody will ever love you like God loves you. The Bible even says in Psalms 121, verse 4, that he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. This means that God never blinks an eye because God doesn't want to miss anything when it comes to us. While we are sleeping, he's watching, thinking, how can I get them to stop wondering and worrying about things because I created these things? You just need to relax. I want you to understand something this morning. I keep saying it, that God loves us just the way we are. He loves us to death and back to life again. I can only imagine what David was thinking when he wrote this and why he felt the need to give us this pep talk. What was he going through? The way that God wanted to see us. Is that what David was saying? When God put that drawing instrument down, God must have took a step back and said, you are good just the way you are. If this doesn't boost somebody's self-esteem on today, I don't know what will. That God thought enough of you to create you just like you are. And that you're good enough. You're good enough. Is there anybody in this church today that is excited that God thought enough of you to put his hands on you and craft a tailor-made masterpiece of likeness and image of who he is. As a matter of fact, when you woke up this morning, you should have just thanked God. That's what you should have did. You should have thanked God that he made you just the way you are. As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you. Look at yourself in the mirror. Blow yourself a kiss and say, God, you outdid yourself this time. Just say that, because it's the truth. In his image and in his likeness. You see, because I praise him because I received that seal of approval. God made me who I am. God made you who you are. God made each of us different. And if God did and God didn't make us the same, you see, I get excited about that because if God had made me exactly like you, then there would be no need for me. There would be no need for me. As you know, I have a twin sister. We're identical, but we're not that much alike. I don't think we are. But think about it. If he had made both of us alike, there would be no need for me. I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. You know, as I come to a close, I want to share this quick point with you. You see, I decided to give my life to Christ at the age of 13. Many years later, I decided to accept the call that was placed on my life. You see, after I made that commitment to follow Christ, I knew I had a call to the ministry. I told some of my friends, my family, they all knew that I had this certain call. But a lot of my friends told me that I had to change some things about me. I couldn't go into God's house and preach his words to his people. So what did I do? Nothing. For years. I didn't do anything because I listened to how and to what people said about me. I knew that God created me to preach, to teach, but I knew that I had the stigma that society placed on people. I had a feeling that I was insufficient, and that feeling held me hostage. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was capable enough to hold the position of preacher, teacher, pastor, anything. Just a layperson. But after reading this text, it solidified that I knew what I knew all along, but I just needed a little reassuring. And that reassuring was from God. And it told me that I made you and that I gave you my seal of approval. I gave you my endorsement, the declaration. I warned everybody in my word that I accepted you and I viewed you satisfactory to deliver my word. I don't want to preach like anyone else. I want to preach like Pat. I don't want to teach like anyone. I want to teach like Pat. For so many months, for so many Sundays, I haven't been doing that. But it took this text here to remind me that I am uniquely made. I don't have to be like everyone else. You see, when I hear the phrase seal of approval, I think that the item has undergone a test and an analyzation. That's what I do all day long. I analyze things. That lets me know that God has analyzed me, has put me through a test, because we are all designed with an intent and a purpose. We're not mass produced at all. Again, God made me who I am. God made you who you are. God made each and every one of us different. And just remember that if he had made us the same, there would be no you, there would be no need for me. I thank God that I am made the way that I am. I hope that this sermon was an esteem, self-esteem booster for someone, as it was for me. There's been many times that I've talked to people who needed that. Don't worry about what others think about you. Don't worry about what others say about you. Don't worry about your hair color. You may want to be a redhead. Okay, change it. But God made you the way that God wanted you. And with that, I say amen.